That was his song. He would start, you'd hear him speak up, he didn't take, say a whole lot, but if he was going to request a song, you could almost be assured it was going to be Sweet Hour of Prayer. I've really grown to love that song. Yeah, at first I was like, it's just an old slow song, and well, boy, you listen to the words of it, and like the boy said that last line, one of these days,
yeah.
I'm out of here. Thank you for singing that this morning. All right, part two. I kind of like it, getting a break in the middle. I think at halftime. You go to the Bible and start looking up mothers. And I'm not usually a Hallmark preacher where I preach on them, but this is what I had this morning. I looked up some mothers and kind of started looking. I wanted to know what's a good thing in the Bible to talk about for mothers. And what's a good thing here or there? What's a good story of the Bible? And there were quite a few women that will come up that you can talk about. And of course, I didn't go with any of those. Because they merely go to, you hear about Sarah, let's see, Sarah, Hannah, Elizabeth, Rebecca, Rachel. And all those women were basically having trouble with childbirth or not going to have a child. They were considered barren or they were getting older. Or some of them were old, 90 years old, so child rearing wasn't necessarily a thing that was going to happen for them. And we know that in each instance of each one of those women, they had a communication with God that said, guess what, you're going to have a kid. And you know what they did. And so those are the main ones that you always get. And they're all great stories. We can go to Mary, Jesus' mother, virgin birth, and that went ahead and sure went through scrutiny, whereas Joseph had to go through a lot too, that somehow this woman's already pregnant. They weren't married, and but it wasn't his kid. And I'm sure there was a lot of talk going on around the area that what's going on with these two people. I'm sure they endured a lot, but they held strong. I want to go to a whole different story. And I think it's probably one of the best stories for a mother that I can find, that I found in the last week or two for mothers. And that's in the 1 Kings. Make sure I got the right one because I got two of them. I'm only going to do one. Yeah, 1 Kings, chapter 17. I guess I didn't send a chapter last week, and I got scolded for it in the truck on the way home. 1 Kings, chapter 17. Elijah is coming into the city there. And as he gets coming through, starting in the ninth verse, I guess we start in the eighth verse, and the word of the Lord came unto Elijah and to him, saying, arise, I'm trying to see this word. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zion, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So God has made plans for Elijah to go on, and he's got this woman that's going to give him some food. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Okay, so first thing I need to probably figure out here is God's working on both sides. You would think this woman, and from what I understand, that she's out gathering sticks was probably a good indication to even Elijah that she didn't have a lot. She wasn't a rich woman. She wasn't one that had a lot to have in this world. And usually once a woman had lost her husband and she was a widow, the money was gone. There was no money coming in. Usually the women didn't work like that. The men brought the gain to them, the breadwinner, as they call it. So when he was gone, times got hard for him, unless the church or the people, you know, took her in, or the other family members. But we see that she is the one that Elijah comes to. In verse 12, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse or a bowl. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. That's it. That's all they got. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. All right, let's think about this for just a minute, okay? If God's not involved, let's take God out of it for just a second. You have a widow woman that has just enough to make one more meal, basically, that she's planning for her and her son to eat that and sustain them for as long as it will until they're going to die. And this guy would come up and ask for a bread. And remember, you don't have it. And he says, not only does he want bread, bring me mine first. Okay. The little bit of the rumbler side of me is like, yeah, get out. Right? This is the last I've got. I'm going to eat it. How dare you come here and ask me for what little I've got and want it first? I think I said it earlier. The plans that I have versus the plans that God has, it's always going to be better with God. Mm-hmm. Always. Luckily, this woman's not me. This is a woman that knew the Lord. I'm sure knew who Elijah was as they came in, and being a prophet of the Lord. In verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. There was a famine going through at the time also. So nobody had a lot of food because it hadn't been rain to grow the crops. So he's saying that feed me first, and you're going to have meal and oil. You ain't going to worry about that anymore. Okay. Without God telling me to do that, I'm like, this guy's crazy. That's magic. I mean, this is, if I want cereal and I eat the cereal, you know what? The bottom of the box is coming pretty quick. But you're going to tell me that bottom is never going to come. I'm just going to keep grabbing and grabbing and there's going to be food. Well, that's what he's telling her. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, never emptied. Neither did the cruse of oil fail. It was always boiled there. According to the word of the Lord, which he spake to Elijah. So how is this a Mother's Day story? That's my mom. What are you talking about? I love my son with all my heart. I know my wife loves him too. And we would do just about anything we could for him to help him along the way. But he is not my priority. My wife is not my priority. And the hardest one to say, the hardest one to get out, the hardest one to believe, I'm not my priority. In our world today, that's all we have is people that are thinking, I am the one to worry about. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. As long as I'm getting what I need, I'm good. If I'm getting what my family needs, we're good. I want to make sure my son has the best shoes and the best clothes, and he had pretty good. You wouldn't know it now because he's got holes in his socks. But we've been buying socks. I say often, we may not have a lot of money, but we have sock money. We'll get you some new socks. So I just want to make sure that he's prepared and he has all the tools that he needs to do as well as he can. Here in the last few months, I've done some work to try to lose a little weight, and I've downed some weight. I don't necessarily care about things, but I want to be able to do better for God, and it's all me. I got to do this for me, and I want to be a little slimmer and look a little better and be able to not, maybe not have to have a CPAP machine or make sure I don't get diabetes or keep it at bay, and there's so many health benefits that would come. All me, me, me. Priority has to be God. Because, as we said before, God's plans are always going to be better than ours. This mother that was looking here had a son to take care of. She had a son that she was trying to feed one more meal to. That was her responsibility to take care of. And when she came down to the end of it, she followed God and forsake her family, telling her that her son and her were going to die earlier, but she was going to follow God. Many of you mothers have got grown children that have up in age that they're necessary that you're caring for them on a daily basis anymore. But there is no better lesson to teach your children, your grandchildren, the people around you, rather than to put God first. Your life will always turn out better. And the thing that you'll learn as you go about it, if you start doing that and you see the gains that will happen, you'll understand, I don't even want praise for it. I don't want anything about it. I want it all not to be for me, but be for God. I don't want to praise Him so that I get something in return. You should do it unselfishly, just because He deserves it all. Amen. So many times I hear, well, I better do this so I can get a blessing. Well, are you doing it for God or are you doing it for you? I want to make sure I do this and do right for God because I don't want anything bad to happen to me. Are you doing it for God or are you doing it for you? This woman did it for God. And as He has promised, He's never failed that I know of, that I could ever say. I can guarantee He hasn't. As I follow God, He has taken care of it. Anytime you get into a bad situation and you have to choose between sin and God, God will give you a way out. He promised us that. He promised that He would stand beside us, care for us, feed us, nurture us, comfort us. So I look at this mother and I'm like, I want to be like her. I want to be able to look at my son, my wife, and say, I love you guys. But God said this. That's what a true father of the house would do. That's not when it's Father's Day, a few months. And whether you want to look at it or not, a good Mother's Day is going to stem from a good Father's Day. Of someone that leads the house according to the law of God, that listens to God, that prays to God, that is close to God, He will make a stronger mother, a stronger household. Mm-hmm. We need strong men. We need strong mothers. Because the world's not producing them very much. I thank the Lord for the mother I had. I think the way she taught me that don't really care about what other people think about you. She didn't care. At least she said she didn't. My dad didn't care either. But I know that there are times that we have a lot of worry and a lot of stress that we have to get things right. We have to have the house all clean, and if somebody was to stop by, what if the dog fluff from where they tore up a toy is all on the floor? I want to make sure that, Matt, like I said before, that Matt's got the best shoes and the best clothes, and I'm worried that he looks good and that he's not at his girlfriend's mom and dad's house with holy socks on. I don't want to be condemned for that. I don't want him to look down like, what kind of parent sent him off with holy socks? The last thing I got for you today is in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. So mothers, at least as I've always seen in the, my mom, my house, my grandmother, they were usually the worriers. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Did I say that right? There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I don't have to worry about what this world thinks about me. I don't have to worry about what you think about me. As I stand and preach, I learned a long time ago, I don't care what you guys think. Yes, I take my wife's criticism for not taking verses and stuff together, but I don't care what you think about me. I don't care if you don't like the way that I say certain things. I don't like my tie's always crooked. I don't care about how you feel about it, except I want to make sure that I'm following the Spirit, I'm following God, and I'll be okay. So as we walk in our lives, there's a similarity to it. As I go through life, I don't care about what everybody else thinks. I'm going to follow God, and guess what? He's going to take care of me. So is the house a little messy? Sometimes. Guess what? We live there. It doesn't always look like we're a show place that nobody lives in. We've got two big dogs, about 200 pounds of dog running around. There's hair on the floor. They love tearing at the toys. There's fluff on the floor. There's usually water dribbled all around. That's just from the dogs, let alone me, bringing in sawdust all through the house. I got shoes laying everywhere. But I've got it kind of down to a corner. But, you know, that's where we live. And that's where that's just how I operate in my home. And if you come in and it doesn't look perfect, I don't care. So for the mothers here today, I love you all. Thank you so much for the effort, the sacrifice, the hard times, the worries that you had for us. And I'll say that as a kid. The moms that have had so much effort into making me who I am today. I'm thankful that you did it by looking to God first. And they did what God told them and taught me about Jesus. Taught me that he died on a cross for me. Taught me that when I go down, all I have to do is trust in God and that he'll save me. It took me 3 years to figure it out. I never really figured it out until I finally understood that I couldn't do it. Mom told me that from day one. Should have just done it. But as a man, a husband, father that really relies on his wife, the mother of his child, thank you so much for all you've done, all you've taught us. May God just stay with you and help you as you go on. Now I'm learning as we get older and have the kid basically moving out of the house that I don't think it's really going to stop. It's not like I'm just going to be like, okay, I'm not a parent anymore. I think I'm going to be worried and try to thump him in the head and tell him he's an idiot for rest of his life. But I love him. And I'm thankful for what my boy stands for. For Mother's Day, thank you so much. That's my message this morning. Anything on anybody's heart?